Blitz on. Snap Trubisky. Under pressure. Lost it over the left side into the end zone.
Intercepted. Adrian Amos. Interception.
Amos, a dagger of a play.
Green Bay Packers win the NFL season opener last night in Chicago 10-3. Really did look like those two teams didn't play any kind of preseason football with their starters. Oh, that's right, they didn't. It was kind of ugly. Certainly, the defenses look good. We knew the Bears' defense could be good. Bears' offense didn't look good at all. Packers' defense, pretty impressive. And if the Packers have a defense and Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, well, then the Packers have a chance to do some special things this year. So, AFL is underway, and the Packers are 1-0, and the Bears are 0-1, and it didn't even come down to the Bears' kicker last night. There was no need to. So the Packers do get the win, 10-3, low-scoring affair. I would be willing to bet you it won't be that low-scoring when the Chiefs play the Jaguars on Sunday. More on that coming up in a moment. But first, we start with local sports, Dusty. And, well, we got stuff from yesterday, and then we look ahead to tonight with high school football.
Yeah, cross-country results are posted at ncksports.com from the Concordia Invitational yesterday. Haley Burks of Beloit took first place individually in the girls' race, and Hannah Burks was second. On the boys' side, Caleb Eilert of St. John's finished in third place. Again, the full results for that invitational at ncksports.com. We can tell you a little bit about Tescott. We don't have the full results yet, but Osborne boys took first place there at Tescott yesterday in cross-country. Reagan Bales was second, Cameron Delaney third, and Graham Bales eighth for the Bulldogs in that race. So we hope to have full results posted later today at ncksports.com. Thunder Ridge volleyball team improved to 6-0 yesterday with a sweep over Palco and a sweep over Plainville. So a good start for the Lady Longhorns, and you can also see results from girls tennis yesterday. The Beloit to Lady Trojans finished second at Clay Center as a team. And again, full results at ncksports.com. As Wade said, high school football coming up here tonight, and we have plenty of coverage for you here on Katy Country 94, Z96.3, katycountry94.com, and ncksports.com. We'll start with the Football Express, presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable at 5:40. That will lead us into pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock on Katy Country 94. It's Lakeside at Thunder Ridge, also online at katycountry94.com, and on Z96.3 Through the Lake, and the online video stream of the Beloit Trojans channel at ncksports.com. Beloit is at Fairbury, Nebraska. Wade and Todd will be up there. I'll be in Kensington tonight for that Lakeside Thunder Ridge showdown, and we'll conclude our coverage tonight with the local high school football scoreboard show presented by State Farm Insurance of Beloit and Osborne. You're coming up tonight at 10:05. So that's a look at what's going on as far as our broadcast schedule is concerned. Other games going on in the area tonight. St. John's Tipton is at Axtell. Rock Hill's at Blue Valley Randolph. Osborne on the road at Hill City. Sylvan Luke is at Chase. Lincoln hosting Tescott, Southern Cloud at home against Wilson, Pike Valley at Hanover, and Smith Center hosts TMP Marion here tonight as well. So that's a look at the high school football schedule for the area. Again, 5:40 Football Express, Cunningham Telephone and Cable right here on Katy Country 94. We'll get everything going here this evening.
All right, Joel Struckoff, Coach Struckoff, love him, man. He's already shared on Facebook that we're having the broadcast Lakeside Thunder Ridge. I wish all the coaches would be doing that, or assistant coaches, and spreading the word.
I didn't even have to tag him yet, and he's already got it on there.
That's awesome, man.
He does that. He was good at that right away last year already, making sure that it's for us and for the fans, obviously, so the fans know
spread the word
where it's going.
If you can't make it to the game, you can spread the word, whether it be a video stream or a live radio broadcast. There you have it. So we appreciate Coach Struckoff doing that. And hey, all coaches would do that. That would be awesome. Or administrators, whatever the case may be. I tag as many people as I can on Twitter or Facebook or so forth to spread the word. Social media, and also here on the radio we promote it, of course, and on our website. So look forward to high school football tonight. And we'll have a thorough preview of these games we just referred to on the Football Express coming up later tonight. But we will hear from a few coaches here on our sports ticket program. First of all, Brad Gober on Fairbury, Nebraska. The Jeffs, as Beloit goes to the state of Nebraska, open up their season this year.
We're excited to go to another state and play some kids from somewhere else that we don't know, kind of show off what Kansas can be. They got a win last week. They held off a rally from Auburn and was able to win the game 14-12, like I said. You know, they've got a lot of guys back, 10 starters on offense. You know, we got to go out there and play our game and, you know, control what we can control and do our jobs. And, you know, we think that if we can do that, we'll have a successful night.
Beloit won the matchup last year against Fairbury, Nebraska. First time they ever met. 47-12 was the final. Fairbury is an experienced team from last year. 10 offensive starters back, 9 defensive starters back. Did win last week 14-12 over Auburn. Matt Edson, head coach of Fairbury, his first year as head coach, but he's been an assistant for the last 7. Talks about Beloit.
Beloit's a good team. They have a lot of their guys back. They made the playoffs last year, won a game. If our team, who is building on momentum, you know, we have currently a three-game win streak if you count last year, and we want to continue to build momentum through the year and reach our goals that we have set for this year.
So that's the matchup. It is Beloit at Fairbury, Nebraska tonight. Once again, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com, the free smartphone app, the Z96.3 Lake free app on your phones, and you can watch it live video stream at NCKSSports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. You can watch that on your smartphones, your laptops, your iPads, whatever the case may be. Watch it through your smart TVs. It's pretty cool. If you don't know about it, I highly encourage you to check it out. Especially if you're a Beloit Trojan fan, you can watch that if you would like, or you can listen to it on the radio. So you got two ways of following it. So Beloit Fairbury tonight at 7 o'clock kickoff. Also, as Dusty mentioned, it's Lakeside Thunder Ridge. That's where Dusty will be tonight. Lakeside has a lot of youth, and they're lacking some size. Tough matchup tonight for the Knights, but here is Coach Dusty about that youth.
I think it's just trying to get these younger kids more comfortable. You know, quite a bit of the sophomores we had last year as freshmen got some playing time and quite a bit of experience. And then just trying to bring these new freshmen in and get them used to the offense that we run and how we play defense and things like that. Because, you know, with our small numbers, you know, we've got one senior and one junior, really. And the rest are going to be sophomores and freshmen. They're going to have to play a lot of football this year.
Lakeside at Thunder Ridge tonight on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, and elsewhere. Dusty mentioned St. John's Tipton, a new head coach, Dean Gingler. And this is a team that's got talent coming back, and Coach Gingler talks about that talent as they head to Axtell for their season opener tonight.
We've got a lot of guys back. We've gained a couple also that just participated in cross-country before, so we have seven seniors coming out this year, and we pick up seven freshmen, so we've kind of got a balance there, and then we do have a lot of talent in the kind of in speed areas, and we're able to catch the ball, throw the ball. So I'm pretty comfortable with where we're at and what we can do. We just got to get it out on the field now.
Three new head coaches in our area teams. Of course, Dean Gingler at St. John's Tipton, and there's also Colby Hamill of Rock Hills, and then Steve Tiernan, who's really not a new coach. He's just returning to where he was. So I have a hard time saying he's a new coach at Osborne. And, of course, Osborne's got a matchup at Hill City tonight, which should be entertaining. Last year was 88-76 was the final.
Yes.
I don't think they'll go quite that high this year, but you never know. So that'll be an interesting game and a score to get on the scoreboard show later tonight. Rock Hills, they go to Blue Valley Randolph, and Coach Colby Hamill in his first year taking over Brock McMillan, who's now an assistant for Beloit High School. And here's Coach Hamill about how things have been going.
Since I've got here in May, this transition has actually gone really well. These guys have pretty much soaked in about everything that I've brought to them. We got some guys coming back. I think we have some guys that people don't know about that are going to rise to the occasion. You know, Derek's little brother Jared is actually going to be our starting quarterback. He's been phenomenal all summer long. He's put in the work, the film, the study, everything that you want in a quarterback. He's bringing that. We're going to have a really tough offense and defensive line. I look forward to those guys playing hard to the whistle.
Once again, we'll kick off our coverage of the Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable, at 5:40, previewing the matchup, 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7. And then at 10:05, it's a local high school scoreboard show brought to you by State Farm Insurance. We look forward to that, and we hope you look forward to the coverage as well on the radio. Over 5 hours of coverage tonight for week one of the high school football season. I've had some people from the bigger cities like, man, I didn't know high school football was such a big deal. It is. Small towns rally around your sports teams and your athletic teams, and there's no question it's a big deal. And in the bigger cities, the high schools are kind of forgotten, because you got your pro teams, your college teams, and so forth. So that's why we are here, to cover some of that. Okay, so we turn our attention now to the pros, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. You can hear them on Sunday with pregame at 11 o'clock. Chiefs open the season at Jacksonville. According to Vegas, the Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. That I don't like to hear.
No.
I really don't. Let the Patriots be the favorite. That's fine with me. Let somebody else be the favorite. The Rams, the Saints. But no, the Chiefs have the best odds to win, according to all the betting that's been taking place in Vegas. So now, the Chiefs, it's a new year, it's a new challenge, and last year doesn't mean jack squat, according to Andy Reid.
That was last year. So it's a new year, and you go back and you get yourself ready for this, and these great defensive coordinators in this league have had a opportunity to study them the whole offseason and this offense the whole offseason. So that's where the challenge comes in. You got to be ready to play.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs' offense looks like it could be better than last year. That's scary for the rest of the league. If Patrick Mahomes stays healthy, the Chiefs should have a great chance of making it to the AFC title game again, maybe having home field advantage again, and maybe getting a little redemption against the Patriots. Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network, earlier this week, we had him on. And you know, when you look at the Chiefs, this is a team that certainly has retooled the defense. We know all about that. But also, they did add talent to the offense. And according to Art, Chiefs, well, they're going to be pretty much a favorite every game this year, except for maybe one or two.
13-3. That was my gut feel. And then as I go through game by game, I mean, the Colts game is – nothing's easy, but that's gotten less troublesome now because of the injury to Andrew Luck. You know, that Packers-Vikings back-to-back, but those are both at home midway through the year. Everybody always loves the Chargers. They're next year's champions every year. Yes. They go to Mexico City, so don't have to go to the little stadium, and that may not be good because it's like a home game for the Chiefs when they go out there. So, I mean, really, you look at the games on the schedule, and at New England, obviously, is a challenge, and that game at Chicago right before Christmas is a challenge. But I figure they'll slip up one or two times in there, but they should be favored, really, in about every game they play except at New England.
As long as they stay healthy. That's the whole key. Art Haynes of the Chiefs Radio Network, our guest earlier this week on Wednesday. If you missed that full interview, it's available at our podcast center, kdcountry94.com, the sports ticket page. As Art thinks the Chiefs are 13-3, and he also told us in the interview that the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl and they'll beat the Vikings to win it all 50 years after they won their first and only Super Bowl. That'd be all right. I'm cool with that. I can't imagine. Let's fast forward if that's going to happen. So, but no, you enjoy the ride, and the ride begins this Sunday. The Chiefs at Jacksonville. Pregame 11 o'clock, kickoff at noon on the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas, our sister station Z96.3 of the Lake. I'm really interested to see what the defense does. Jaguar offense. They're going to run the ball with Leonard Fournette. Nick Foles, a capable quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, but mostly a career backup, re-energized and restarted his career with the Chiefs and Andy Reid. Without Andy Reid, I don't know Nick Foles would even be where he is today. So the Jaguars are going to be tough because they play good defense. And Patrick Mahomes, that was the only team Patrick Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown pass against last year. Did you know that?
I did not.
It was the Jacksonville Jaguars, yeah. And it was at home in Kansas City. It was early in the year. The thing is, Blake Bortles threw like four interceptions.
I remember it now you say it, but
and
I wouldn't have.
The Chiefs struggled in that game offensively a little bit, so there is concern there. The Jaguars have a really good defense. I just think they have too many weapons the Chiefs do offensively. I just don't think Jacksonville, unless the defense of the Chiefs is horrendous like it was last year, I just don't think Jacksonville has enough firepower. They've got a running game with Fournette if he stays healthy. They've got a decent offensive line. The quarterback is certainly capable. Their wide receivers, they've got some injuries in that area. They don't have any dynamic, super great wide receivers per se. Now watch them light up the Chiefs like a Christmas tree in the secondary. And that is the biggest question of the Chiefs defensively, I think, is the secondary, especially at corner. So we'll see how the Chiefs go. Tyrann Mathieu battling a bit of a shoulder injury, says, I'm good, no worries. I'm ready to go week one in Jacksonville on Sunday. So I think the biggest thing for me watching this game is I'm going to really be glued in on what the defense does. Really, really glued in. And it would be really fun for the Chiefs to just go out there, score on their opening drive, which they did that a lot last year, win the coin toss, which they usually did too. So get a stop, which they usually did last year when they won the coin toss. That was one of the good things about last year's defense. The first possession usually pretty good. So you get a stop, you go score, and then the Chiefs defense really comes through. Even if they get a couple first downs, they get a stop, Chiefs go down, get a field goal, touchdown, you know, boom, 10-0, 14-0, be front runners. And then what I would like to see is the Chiefs defense allow Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to take it easy in the fourth quarter. And they could do that against I think it's going to be a much better Jacksonville team that 2 years ago was in the AFC title game and last year just fell off the cliff and had all kinds of issues and injuries and bad play at quarterback and went 5-11. If they can do that against Jacksonville, who could very well be a playoff team, you have them winning the division in your predictions yesterday, that would be a great start to the season. But I'll take a win any way you can get it. If it's 10-3, 38-35, 49-47, that'll worry me a little bit. But
yeah.
Whatever, it'd be entertaining. But I'm looking forward to it on Sunday, and the Chiefs have the first two games on the road at Jacksonville and at the Oakland Raiders. And speaking of the Raiders, no conversation is complete until we talk about Antonio Brown. This is crazy. I don't know. I think he needs a little mental health evaluation right now. I don't know if he wants to play football or not, but if you don't know, he revealed a letter from the GM Mike Mayock on Instagram and then put his own little nugget on it. and didn't appreciate being fined, even though he's the one that chose not to show up for team walkthroughs and practices. And he got into it, Mike Mayock. If you remember Mike Mayock, he used to be on the NFL Network as an analyst and broke down the draft. And after a screaming match, according to sources, Antonio Brown told Mayock that he would hit him in the face and then punted the ball and said, "Fine me for that." Well, now it looks like the Raiders are going to suspend him, which they should. If they don't, it sends a horrible message to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And the David Carr says the Raiders' captains are behind John Gruden and his Antonio Brown decision. If he is suspended for the first game in Denver against the Broncos on Monday night, then it's possible that the Raiders can void the contract. And Antonio Brown cost himself $30 million. If they place him on the inactive list, then it's a whole different thing to where then it's a chance that that money is going to kick in and the Raiders are going to owe him that. So the Raiders, I think, are right now, like I said before, Antonio Brown's not worth the headaches at all. Not right now. And how can you trust him if you then sign on and say, okay, he's our guy, and then week two, he has another blow up, and then you owe him a whole bunch of money? It's a mess. And the Chiefs will be happy to go into a mess in Oakland in week two. And then the Chiefs win the first two road games. They're 2-0, and they come back home, which would be a tough game against Baltimore. But then at Detroit, Indianapolis, Houston at home, they could easily be 6-0 going into Denver. And Denver's always tough for the Chiefs on the road. So it's a friendly schedule to an extent, as long as the Chiefs could win their first two road games at Jacksonville and at Oakland. Right now, Oakland looks like a mess. Okay, the NFL schedule for this weekend. Here are the games, in case you're curious. The Rams are at Carolina, Tennessee at Cleveland, Baltimore's at Miami, Atlanta's at Minnesota, Buffalo's at the Jets, the Eagles will host the Redskins, Indianapolis at the Chargers, Cincinnati at Seattle, Detroit is at Arizona, the Giants at Dallas, San Francisco on the road at Tampa Bay, and Pittsburgh is at New England for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Then two Monday night games, Houston at New Orleans, that could be a good one, and Denver at Oakland, which people are just going to tune in to see if Antonio Brown will show up and throw a helmet at a fence or something. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't look like he'll probably play in week one. Denver and Oakland Monday night opener there coming up in week one of NFL season. College football this weekend. Well, we got a lot going on. Let's begin with the KU Jayhawks. They will be hosting Coastal Carolina. That's a 5:30 pregame. Kickoff at 6 tomorrow night on the home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. Z96.3 The Lake. And Puka Williams returns, whether you agree with that or not, a one-game suspension after his offseason transgressions. He is returning. The offense should be different, unless Miles is pretty excited about Puka coming back.
I think he's a very strong player. We'll have to, you know, integrate him into the team yet again. And I suspect he'll give us some Puka plays. And we're looking forward to having him back. I can tell you that. He's enjoyed by his teammates, and he's really, we'll enjoy him in the huddle. We'll enjoy him, you know, eating. We'll enjoy that man.
I think KU's going to be fine against Coastal Carolina. That seems kind of crazy to just assume they're going to win a game after what they've done the last 6-7 years. But, you know, they got Indiana State. Brian Haney said Coastal Carolina's marginally a little bit better than Indiana State, maybe. He thinks KU matches up well with Coastal Carolina. I like KU to win, especially Puka Williams back on offense. I think he's going to have a couple of big plays. He's a threat to take it to the house every time he touches the ball. Coastal Carolina, KU tomorrow, 5:30 pregame kickoff at 6 on Z96.3 Lake as the Jayhawks try to improve to 2-0 under Les Miles and then head into a big Friday night game next Friday against Boston College. And by the way, next Friday, high school football take precedence, local over regional. This is how we do it around here. There's many different ways for you to watch or listen to Jayhawks. We love to have them on the radio, but when I can't stand that college football puts games on Friday nights against high school football.
No.
It upsets me. It bothers me. You have Saturday. Use Saturday. You want to pick another night of the week? Fine. But Friday night, that should be for the high school guys. That's just my opinion, and I'll stick to it. So high school come first next Friday so that we can bring you Hoxie at Osborne and Lakeside at Rock Hills on the radio next Friday the 13th. Hopefully that's lucky for those teams. And then if we can, we can join KU in progress next Friday and take on Boston College. But KU against Coastal Carolina Lawrence coming up tomorrow. K-State trying to start 2-0 as well. Early kickoff at 11 a.m. on FS1 tomorrow against Bowling Green. This is a team that Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider from Go Powercat, on Tuesday said he just doesn't think K-State's going to have too many problems. But the question is, how energized, how fired up will this team be? Early morning kickoff. Of course, week one, season opener, a new era. You're all fired up and ready to go. Prime time in the evening at 6 o'clock. Fans had plenty of time to, you know, get energized and you know, other stuff, tailgating and so forth and so on throughout the day. A morning kickoff's a little bit different, and some fans can't make it. I've seen a lot of tickets for sale on social media because people just can't make it to the game or have other commitments on Saturday morning. Chris Kleiman, the head coach of the Cats, on turning the focus to Bowling Green and having a short week to prepare.
One thing that I'm a big believer in is whatever you did last Saturday has no bearing on the next Saturday, positive or really negative in that respect. You're judged each week when you go out there, and you're judged on Saturdays, but since you need to win each day, you need to be able to prepare Monday through Friday to have a chance to be successful on Saturday, and that's kind of what we talked about with the guys. Our preparation, I thought, was really good against Nicholls State, and we prepared for 2 weeks for Nicholls. Now we only have 5 days for Bowling Green, but if we have that same kind of mindset within our preparation on a daily basis.
Okay. So, yes, K-State opening up against Bowling Green. I don't think they're going to have any problems. Do you, Dusty?
No, I don't. It's about staying with the right kind of focus that they had in week one. But outside of that, if they come prepared, I don't think Bowling Green has what it takes to pull off any kind of upset.
All right, Bowling Green at K-State, 11 a.m. tomorrow. West Virginia is at Missouri. Missouri upset. They lost to Wyoming. I heard Missouri fans talking about starting 7-0, and they couldn't even win their first game. That was kind of funny, actually. West Virginia at Missouri. Bowling Green at K-State. Texas Antonio at Baylor at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Coastal Carolina at KU, as we mentioned, at 6. South Dakota is at Oklahoma at 6 tomorrow. And McNeese is at Oklahoma State at 6. 6:30 tomorrow is the big game. LSU number 6 at number 9, Texas. If Texas is really back, I think they're going to make a statement tomorrow to say they're back and are their national championship contender if they can win tomorrow at home on ABC. And UTEP is at Texas Tech tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. MIAA scores from last night. They started on a Thursday. Some good games. Washburn beats Lincoln 49-27. Nebraska Kearney over Missouri Southern 39-27. Emporia State rolled Northeastern State University 51-14. Central Missouri beat Fort Hays State. And Fort Hays has picked the win the league, and now they're 0-1. 34-30, a good one there. And Northwest Missouri State beats Missouri Western 45-35. I leave the best for last because I'm a Pitt State gorilla. Pittsburgh State won 37-35. They had 4 turnovers in the game and gave up a fumble that was returned for a touchdown with like 2 minutes left in the game. It looked like they were going to lose because they just kept coughing the football up. But then got a drive in the final 2 minutes and kicked a 19-yard field goal to win 37-35. So dodged a bullet because they tried to give it away. So Pitt State starts the season at 1-0. The Royals were in action yesterday. The Royals trying to go for the sweep against the Detroit Tigers, and of course they couldn't get it.
And he's done it again. Cuthbert checks in. Deeney comes in from second. And Witt continues to absolutely control Matt Boyd.
Royals lose 6-4. They're in Miami for a 3-game set. The Marlins having a rough year. Some people say they're tanking on purpose. Some could say the Royals are tanking, I guess. I don't think they're tanking. They just don't have good pitching for the most part. Soler did not hit a homer yesterday. He's stuck on 40.
Yeah.
He's stuck on 40 because he had back-to-back games where he hit a home run. The last one went, well, it hasn't landed yet. 450 feet, hit the facade of the Royals Hall of Fame. When that guy hits a home run, you just know it's a home run. When it leaves the bat and you hear the sound, you're just like, it's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
There's really no doubt left about where it's going.
It's funny when an outfielder turns and doesn't even, well, sometimes they don't even turn. They're just like, you know, why bother? Or they turn like, okay, not going to get that one. Not bringing that one back. Over 100 RBIs as well for Soler. Witt's going for the Major League hit lead or the American League hit lead. Mondesi going for the stolen base title. The Royals have the top 3 guys in triples, so that's something.
Yeah.
Of course, the record not so good as we know. So the Royals trying to get hot in September. They will not go undefeated in September after losing to the Tigers yesterday. Darn it. I had a lot of money riding on that. All of a penny. Okay, the U.S. Open. Serena, a really impressive win last night. Serena Williams over Svitolina, 6-3, 6-1. And Andreescu wins in straight sets. Tough match against Bencic. So it is Andreescu from Canada versus the American Serena Williams. And Serena, if she can win coming up tomorrow, she will tie Margaret Court for the most Grand Slam titles with 24. She's had a few opportunities before and hasn't come through. Is this the time she gets it done, Dusty?
Yeah.
I will say she will.
Fairly good about it.
I'll say she will this time, too. Whereas the last two or three times she's had that chance, I've said she won't, and she hasn't.
Yeah.
But I think she will this time. After all the controversy last year in the championship against Osaka and then the chair umpire situation, it would probably be, I guess, if you're a Serena Williams fan, good karma, a year later to be the darling and then tie the record in New York, where she really likes the U.S. Open, likes to play there, but she's had some really bad moments in her career at the U.S. Open. Or maybe it's another epic meltdown when she gets down and gets mad and then throws her racket in and dresses you and then challenges to a wrestling match. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I am intrigued and will probably try to watch as much as I can, see if Serena gets that 24th major title. The men's singles, it's the semifinals. Medvedev is going to meet Dmitriev and Berrettini versus Nadal. Many people think Nadal is going to win it all, and the men's final will be on Sunday. So that's a look at the U.S. Open, where we believe Serena will crack through and get that 24th title. Pretty amazing. 20 years between her first U.S. Open win and her and then 100 wins. Is there 100 wins in majors? Is that what she had, 101?
I don't know that.
I don't know. Or is that the U.S. Open, 100 wins?
I would guess it's probably the U.S. Open.
I think it's the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So 20 years separating her first and 100th win at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
That's staying power, and it also says something about the rest of the field over those years, too, in my opinion. And that,
everybody else is grabbing it by the horns here.
Well, once her sister fell off with injuries and health, she's had a few people here and there challenge her, but there's just been no big rival. And Sharapova, we thought after Sharapova beat Serena in Wimbledon years back, that might be the rival, and then Serena just pounds
her. Never lost to her again
after
that.
Yeah. So we'll see if Serena at the age of 38 can get it done at the U.S. Open. We'll see if there's any other nuggets here before we bring on Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, to preview the Huskers and the Buffaloes. And let's see here. I'm pulling it up. Oh, you see Nick Saban got penalized by his wife.
I didn't.
He berated an official because he thought the official was getting on his players for celebrating a touchdown. He didn't agree with it. Well, he said later on yesterday in his press conference that he didn't realize that some of his coaches had come onto the field celebrating, which is a no-no. And that's why the officials threw the flag. So his wife, he calls her Miss Terry. She told him that he had to spend 20 minutes on the treadmill because she didn't appreciate the way he acted. And he said, you know what? I can learn from mistakes just like our players can.
Yeah.
Look, good for you, Nick Saban. A lot easier to learn from your mistakes when you're making $1 billion. Okay, not a billion. 7 or 8, 9 million, whatever else the case may be. And by the way, we mentioned Serena. She reaches the U.S. Open for the final for the 10th time in her career. That's pretty impressive. And by the way, there is a report on CBS Sports that the Chiefs are still working on a contract extension for embattled wide receiver Tyreek Hill. I still think the Chiefs should just wait this out this year. That's my feeling. I know it could cost them more money if Tyreek Hill is a perfect citizen, has a banner year, but I just think the PR hit, which the Chiefs don't seem to worry too much about that at times, I think you just wait, and if he has a great year, okay, you might be able to trade him if you want, or you assign him to a long-term deal, cost you more money, okay, that's not the greatest situation, I get it. At the same time, you give him a ton of money, and then he has some kind of big mishap off the field, or there's more to this story that we've had back in January. Now, you know, hopefully there's language in the contract to void it, or whatever the case may be. I would think the Chiefs would protect themselves, but I think maybe they'd be better off waiting and then franchise tagging him and giving Chris Jones the bigger deal, and then you're going to give Mahomes, you know, 22% of the team plus $100 million a year. Who knows what they're going to give Mahomes based on what he does this year. But the Chiefs reportedly are still working on a contract extension for Tyreek Hill.